Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Greetings, my name is Stephen Lewis, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Pam Salem will join us to discuss prime energy activation and transcendence. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Greetings, Steve. How are you doing this evening?
Extremely well. Thank you, Stephen.
Oh, so happy to hear that. But before we get started, I'm discussing PEAT processing, because PEAT is the acronym for Prime Energy Activation and Transcendence. Before we get into all that, would you mind sharing with us what you do at PsychicAccess.com?
Sure, Stephen. I'm a psychic medium, which means that I tune into people psychically, but I also connect with people in spirit. And it's something I very much enjoy doing because, you know, when a person passes to spirit, it's extremely comforting to know that they are okay, that they continue their path even though they've left the earth plane. And it's something that we'll all face. We'll all someday face that transition. And so I find that a very interesting part of my work, very fulfilling. But I also really enjoy astrology and tarot, numerology even, but particularly I'm very passionate about the use of astrology to understand individuals, help them understand themselves, and look at when things are most likely to occur.
Very good, very good. Well, everyone, you can find Steve Frampton at PsychicAccess.com. Thank you for being here with us this week, Steve. And I have here with me also Nona Marie from PsychicAccess.com. How are you doing this evening, Nona?
I'm doing just great. Thank you so much for asking. And I'm so happy I'm not in the areas that are getting slammed by the winter storms.
Ooh, tell me about it. Our hearts go out to you guys if you're listening from the winter wonderland. Definitely. Well, would you mind sharing with all of us what it is that you do at PsychicAccess.com?
Well, I do predictive readings. I do animal readings also as well. And I'm not really a medium in the classic sense, but I do get messages from the other side if people ask me specific questions. And I also have a degree in psychology, so I try to use that to help people through rough spots as well as pointing out the trail ahead.
Excellent, excellent. You might not be a medium in the classic sense, but you are amazing in every sense. Everybody, find Nona Marie at PsychicAccess.com. Well, tonight, I'm pleased to present to you Pam Salem, a certified PEAT processor in the spiritual technologies of Zivorad Slavinsky. Now, it's a reasonable question. What is PEAT? PEAT is an acronym for Prime Energy Activation and Transcendence. Okay, so we just sort of shortened that to PEAT. And Pam Salem is a certified PEAT processor. In addition to her work with PEAT, she offers equine experiential programs for personal growth, taught, quote unquote, by horses at the Horizon Farm in Seymour, Tennessee. She is an equine-assisted training specialist with 40 years of horse experience, who raised Arabian and Anglo-Arabian sport horses for 20 years. Pam has co-facilitated equine-assisted programs since 2000 and currently co-facilitates an equine experiential program at English Mountain Recovery Center near Sevierville, Tennessee. And I'm not sure if I pronounced that right, Sevierville, Tennessee. But these programs, her horse programs, in addition to the PEAT processing, her equine programs are unmounted programs, meaning, you know, you don't have to be riding around all over the place in order to reap the benefit of the therapy. They're unmounted programs. They consist of activities with the horses that can increase your awareness of body language and other sorts of nonverbal behaviors. And it also assists with something called kinesthetic learning that can lead to life-enhancing empowerment. And plus, I think we can all admit, it's just lovely to be with horses in nature while you're discovering yourself on a deeper level. So if you'd like more information about Pam Salem, you can find her at PamSalem.com. But of course, tonight's topic won't be restricted solely to horses. Human beings can definitely benefit from peat processing as well. And tonight we're going to have Pam to talk to us about horses and about peat processing in human beings. So we're trying to get Pam on the line now. Are you with us yet, Pam?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, how nice. Well, before we get started on the interview, would you mind, I tried to define peat. I think you could probably do a better job. Would you mind sort of defining what it is for us, please?
Peat is it sprang out of energy psychology, okay? And it was developed in 1999 by Zivorad Slabinski of Serbia, and has its roots in various systems of energy psychology. He had studied it for years, and shortly after he did this, he made the breakthrough to effectively solve hardcore problems, basically your fundamental life problem. That's what peat addresses. It is peat, deep peat is the crown jewel of Zivorad's spiritual technology system. And it was my first experience with his work. And I was taken there actually through a horse workshop, and a gentleman did a process with us. And it was so profound that I went back to do the deep peat process. And what that is that you're born into this plane of existence, this plane of duality, and the primes are the first two things that happen to you, okay? And so that develops a charge. And that charge then comes down and affects every other decision that you make in this plane. It becomes your dance of life. By integrating your first primes through the process of deep peat, you discover your game of life, and you achieve a oneness, and you're able to then make a choice rather than have a reaction.
Oh, that's lovely. I know personally there are areas in my life where I would enjoy having more choice instead of, you know, sort of blindly responding to some sort of murky psychological script. When I first started exploring peat, I saw it described as a processing method. That sparked my curiosity. So my question is, A, how is it a processing method? And there's something else about peat that really made me curious. I saw that it was compared to acupuncture, sort of acupuncture without the needles. And so if you wouldn't mind, perhaps just talking a little bit about how peat is a processing method and perhaps how it's comparable to acupuncture.
It's not really comparable to acupuncture. There are eye points that are used in deep peat, that the inside eye point, which is the bladder meridian, you are eliminating charge, and the bladder does eliminate. So there would have to be a lot of research done to figure out the reasons that this works. It works. That's all I know. I don't know exactly why it works, and I don't think anybody except Zivorad, who has done this over and over and over, knows maybe why. He just experimented to find out that it did work. And
it's still very young.
It happened, actually, you go back and forth between the eye points, all right? So you take a polarity. I'll share mine. Mine was my primes. The two pillars of your first charge are called prime polarities, and we shorten that to calling them the primes. And so you go back and forth on your eye points, and until you take a problem, then you identify the primes in the person, and there's a whole series of steps that you go through when you're processing. And sometimes it just seems to take on a life of its own, and the person will reach their primes. Mine turned out to be freedom and restriction. And upon that playground, I saw the story of my life. And that is often what happens. You see, oh, that makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. Because these were my reactions. So it changed my life so profoundly that I remember sitting down, and I was cleaning house, and there was a picture in a magazine that had fallen open that normally would have triggered me, but I couldn't remember how. And I was so stunned that I remember just sitting down in the chair, because where that trigger might have been, there was buoyancy. Mm. And my life, I was free from that. I was free from that trigger. And that was not even something that I had consciously worked on. And this is what happens when those two primes integrate and the charge is gone, then it's like dominoes fall. And all those things that you built after you built those first two charges fall like dominoes. And as you learn the other techniques, you learn how to take anything that has a charge and integrate it. What I see the brilliance that what Ziverev has done is that rather than just focusing on the good, mm-hmm. as you would think would be helpful, he takes and has you focus deeply on that which was the trigger, or that which was painful, or that which was negative to you in your life, a hurtful experience. And then you focus on the good, and that's where you go back and forth on the I point. And there are a series of steps, but what happens is that eventually those two things integrate, and they have no charge. And you're able to use them when you need to use them. So say you have anger and calm. There's a time for anger, there's a time for calm. But you have the choice to use that where it's appropriate.
Okay, so the primes then are the opposite ends of this, of whatever spectrum. I mean, they're opposites of each other. For example, perhaps my primes are wastefulness with money versus thriftiness, and I might lean too far in the direction of one. And so, please correct me if I'm misunderstanding here, but it seems to me like part of the therapy of this, part of the power of peat processing, is bringing these two opposites together, and maybe making something, a third new thing out of these opposites, something that will reduce what you called the charge, which could be something. The charge would be something negative, because.
Well,
one
let me stop you right
the
there. It's
heavy.
Not a third new thing. It's a oneness. And Ziverev often quotes and says, what is the quote? Every fool knows there's a drop of water in the ocean, but it is the wise man who knows that and the drop of water is the ocean. So it's not just bad and it's not just good. It's all a part of the whole. It's all a part of the oneness. And it's the dance in the plane of duality. And you become free from the charge of banging around in it, and you're able to see it and use it. It's not that it goes away and your life becomes perfect, but there's a freedom, and there's a wisdom and a knowledge, and you're moving closer and closer to oneness every time you eliminate a charge in a polarity. So it doesn't become a third thing. That's what I wanted to say. It becomes one. His book that tells the most about this is Return to Oneness, and this is how you do that. You return to oneness by taking the two polarities and integrating them. It really makes me think of the infinity symbol moving all the time.
It's an ongoing process.
Yes.
So these polarities are the primes. The prime is a synonym for a polarity, if I'm not mistaken.
The prime polarity are the first two pillars. Okay? After that, you're still going to have polarities or metapolarities, but when you integrate everyone will have their first set, because everybody gets triggered as they come into the plane of duality. So everybody's going to have their first set.
Okay.
And so you take that first set, and when you integrate those, then the ones below begin to just fall like dominoes. Doesn't mean that everything's gone, because we have many life experiences. What it does is enable us to see the dance of life. And that's what's fun.
Now, do you call it a dance in reference to this sort of constant movement between the poles? In this balancing act, or this unification of two different things, is this what you mean by the dance of life?
Well, every relationship is a dance. You know, when we meet someone and something triggers or something happens, we step back and go, now what was that?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'll step back and say, how am I reacting? You know, where is that? What is that? What does that remind me of? And then what polarity might that be? Has that made me angry? Has that made me happy? And so then you go with the dance, because I think the brilliance of this method is that it takes and has you feel that deep, deep, deep sadness, and then feel that deep, deep, deep joy. But it's the feeling of the sadness that finally releases and then integrates, because what you resist will persist. And that's what Ziverat understood. What you resist will persist. So part of this process is not resisting and not just falling into the joy, but integrating both of them.
How long does it, and I know this, there's no set time length, obviously, for everybody. This is probably, I'm assuming, an individual case will vary, but how long does it take the average beginning practitioner to start neutralizing the primes?
Generally, when it first started out, people would take, I remember going and going to an hour and a half session one day and an hour and a half session the next day. And now I have seen people in trainings that I've been to neutralize in 20 minutes. So anywhere from 20 minutes to 40 minutes on the average now. Mm-hmm.
Is this something that I need a partner to do with, or can I do it by myself?
Pete, you would need a processor. There are other methods where you can do them yourself. There are other techniques that Ziverat has developed that you can do as a spiritual practice yourself. So, but DP, you would need a trained processor for. And that was when I first got trained as a processor. That's really all I was interested in doing was the deep peat, because it had had such a profound effect on my life. And, you know, now that I've really learned some of the other techniques and their value and, you know, how they can be helpful, it can, you know, there are ways. There's a process called Deep Peat 4, and, you know, you can install qualities that you want. Colleague, who is one of the five trainers of trainers, there are five trainer of trainers. I am a certified peat processor, and I'm also a certified peat trainer, which means I can train a processor. The trainers are the people that train the trainers to train people to process, okay? That's kind of the hierarchy of how that works, okay? So my colleague, who is a trainer of trainers, has taking a 6-month course with her and, you know, learning how to do these things. And one of the things she did was she integrated a clean desk. And so she went online on YouTube and found exactly what she wanted her desk to look like. And so she integrated the quality of having a clean desk. And it helped her enormously. So there are interesting ways of using it that are very practical and very useful in real life.
Yeah, my desk is always cluttered, or often cluttered, I should say.
Oh, well, so we just won't go there, okay? I haven't gotten that far.
Well, you know, it seems that even though peat is very simple in this, in that we're trying to neutralize primes, it also seems sort of very developed. And I'd like to remind people listening that we're talking about a very young system as far as spiritual systems go. Peat processing is quite young, so there's still a lot of research left, definitely. But I'd like to ask
the organization. Some scholar needs to get hold of it. And
perhaps how many processes there might be in it.
Yeah. There are, I haven't even stopped to count, to tell you the truth.
there are a lot of them.
Because it's also a very fluid, moving, you know, just like it used to take that long when I first was taken to my primes, and now it takes 20 to 40 minutes. And usually 20. It's sort of like it was like, you know, the story of the 100th monkey. When the 100th monkey washed the potato, then to wash off the dirt in the water, then all the monkeys everywhere knew how to do it. And all of a sudden, as more people became processed, the quicker it went for everyone who was a processor. So it's been interesting to experience that. I was first processed in my primes in 2005. And, you know, Ziverad continues to tweak the different processes and find new ways to make them work even more efficiently. So it really is an ongoing process, but there's an interesting story he tells of how he came to understand that you needed both. And to root out a problem, he was sitting in a park one day, and he saw the men trying to take this huge pole out of the ground. Well, they couldn't just lift it up because it was very deeply buried in the ground. So have you ever seen anybody take out a fence post?
I have.
They'll take it to the right, and they'll take it to the left. And they'll move it to the right, and they'll move it to the left. And gradually it begins to loosen. And so that's how he really, it just suddenly, he just knew that this could also be done with rooting out our problems, our mental constructs, that you go to the right and then to the left, and you go to the right and then to the left, and gradually it loosens, and then it integrates.
And
it was seeing a pole in a park, and this great gift came to us.
That's amazing. That is truly amazing.
It is amazing.
Well, another very interesting notion I came across is the idea that Pete, deep processing can troubleshoot problems that may have been with you for a few lifetimes. Would you mind perhaps speaking a little bit about this notion of reincarnation? Does Pete doctrine have some sort of a formal cosmology or explanation of the universe, for instance, or what's the take on things like that as far as Pete processing is concerned?
Well, I wouldn't call it a doctrine, first of all. I'd call it, these are techniques of spiritual processing to take people, to return people to oneness. And yes, I would say that there are experiences of past lifetimes that things do seem to resolve. I've been taught that they resolve, into future lifetimes. I have not experienced that in a group. Some people have. And I've always had a real hard time, honestly, to wrap my mind around parallel lifetimes. I have had experiences of brief flashes of past experiences. And so I do believe that if there are places where you are stuck, that have come from other times and other places, mm-hmm. that can integrate.
Yes, because it is possible. I think, sometimes I'm like, oh, wow, have I carried some of my own personal problems and kinks? Did these come to, from another life perhaps? And I just really am attracted to the idea that it's possible to troubleshoot long-running problems, perhaps even karmic problems of that sort. And it's really, even though it's only been around for maybe a couple decades or so, it's really a complex system, and yet also at the same time fairly simple in using.
That's the beauty of it. It's very, it's simple and it's efficient. It's the whole world with a grain of sand, it is. It's very, very, it has steps. And you do those steps, and as you do them and as you practice them, it can become, it can become its own form of meditation. I know that my trainer, the trainer of trainers colleague, has been a long time meditator, and she says that it has helped her get to the place of meditation, quietness, more and more quickly as she has processed herself, her own self.
So she does it without a partner. She's capable of processing herself now.
Well, not to deep peat, because she's already been to deep peat. But okay. Sure, you could you can do little processes with yourself. Yes.
Sure. Are these...
And as a practice, it's just like mindfulness must become a practice, or who are we to speak about it if we aren't doing the work ourselves? How can we send our clients home with homework? I mean, we must do our own homework and continually use the systems in order to help our clients.
Now, in deep peat, where you do have a partner in this, is it a situation where the processor is maybe asking you questions, for example, or that sort of, like, I don't want to say interrogate because that sounds harsh, and I'm sure it's not, like, even though it might not be the most comfortable process, I'm sure it's not, you know, intentionally harsh, so I don't want to use the word interrogate, but you see what I'm driving at. Is the processor, is it a situation where he's asking you questions, or she is asking you questions, or what is that process like?
Well, I do experiential work with this, and I do experiential work with horses, and I probably couldn't tell you exactly how it works. I can talk about it, but truly you do have to experience it to understand how powerful it is. One of the things I like about it very, very much is that it is not about the story. It is not about the story. It is about integrating polarities. And so you may start out with a problem, but that's only to get to the root polarity. Now, sometimes people don't get to their primes. Sometimes what they get to is a state of what's called pleroma. And that would be a state of feeling great oneness with everything, okay? And eventually they will get to their primes, but that may be what they needed that day in that particular situation. And that's okay. And that's, you know, that's what I've had that happen in processing, where someone has gone to that state, and that's what they needed that day. And it's okay, you know, whatever violin music I need to play that day, I play. And I like this process because it is not intrusive. I don't need to know anything about what their mother did, you know, that's right. Not my job. I'm not a therapist. I am a peat processor. I am a spiritual person who is helping people on the spiritual path. And releasing these charges is one way that I can help. And when I was fortunate enough to go to a training when Zivarad was able to come to the United States in 2007. I remember that the very end of the training, and I was very young in this. I was still like really having to get my mind wrapped around it, even though I knew it worked. And he sat on his chair and he said, "Now, you have something that can help people who are in pain in our world. And he said, remember that there are two kinds of karma. You all know the karma of commission, where you have done something that caused someone pain. And he said, and you make amends for that. And he said, but there's another kind of karma. There's the karma where you had something to give that you did not give, the karma of omission. And that really spoke to me, and that's why I became a processor, because it is something that can help remove the pain in the world, the charge in the world, and free people to make more aware decisions, to make choices rather than have reactions.
Very good. Pam, we're going to take a very quick break, a 1 minute break, everyone. We will be back in 1 minute. Do not go anywhere.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Welcome back to the Psychic Viewpoint. I'm Stephen Lewis, and I'm here with Pam Salem, a certified PEAT processor in the spiritual technologies of Zivorod Slavinsky. Now, Mrs. Salem, you mentioned Zivorod Slavinsky. Is he, in fact, the origin of the PEAT processing system?
Yes, he is.
Ah. Would you mind perhaps telling us a little bit about the origins of PEAT? You mentioned how he was in the park and he saw the fence pole coming out of the ground. How did PEAT processing pick up in the West and in America, and how long has it been around?
Well, he created it in 1999, and then it has evolved as he's done trainings and seen how to do things, you know, more efficiently as he's gone along, as he's seen and learned, just as we all do by practice and demonstration. And sometime in there is when he was in the park and realized it was the back and forth between the two polarities that worked to integrate them. And so that has just, you know, things have grown out of that as people have done the different techniques. So I was trained in the deep peat and did some of the other processes, but until I worked with the trainer of trainers, I really didn't see, you know, how deeply beneficial that they could be. and how wonderful to, you know, find a clean desk. But if there's a quality that you need to install in yourself, I had a friend who really needed to be more assertive, and so she went on YouTube and found, of all things, a video of Hillary Clinton, and installed that quality, and she went back and she was able to handle a very aggressive person very assertively.
That's brilliant. I like that. So she was able to sort of borrow, for lack of a better word, I guess, the right
quality
amount of aggression.
She was able to borrow
herself.
The quality.
Ah, okay. And this would theoretically be possible for any area that where you might have a deficiency of something required at the time.
In any area that you wanted to have that particular quality.
That's amazing.
If you didn't have that experience in your life and you weren't normally that way, so you work on that piece and install that quality. Until you see, because once you integrate it, then you have the choice to use it when you need it, because it's there.
Oh. Okay, so it's not like you're really reprogramming yourself. It's more like you're choosing to manifest certain behaviors or qualities as they're necessary.
Correctly. That's correct. As they're necessary.
That's
so it's very empowering and it's very freeing, and you're more aware in that particular situation of that particular dance. So,
now, you know, I want to ask, and you know, we're all people with very different types of talents and everything, and you know. You're a very talented person. Peat processing isn't your only area of expertise. You love horses as well and are quite experienced working with horses. And again, deep peat processing is something that is evolving, something that is being discovered through research, etc. Are you ever tempted to muse or wonder how it's possible perhaps to mix the two? Now, of course, I can imagine a horse itself. I don't know how capable it is of doing deep peat processing, but maybe as an adjunct or a help to peat therapy for someone else. I mean, it's a provocative idea, don't you think? Everybody loves horses.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Horses are like, you know, big biofeedback machines because they're prey animals and they're very astute. They even see the small movements of our faces. And,
wow.
And they read that. They really read us amazingly. So probably where peat would be one of the most beneficial is in the actual equestrian world where people are trying to achieve certain goals, mm-hmm. and where, say, they have maybe had something to shake their confidence.
Mm-hmm.
There's a technique of removing trauma, which I have actually used on myself. And I had a horse almost fall with me, and so I took that and I integrated the charge, and my confidence came back again. So I was able to say, okay, that could have been dangerous, okay, but I am confident that I won't put myself in that position again. And so, you know, and so I could move back and forth between the two without the charge. And I did that personally for myself. So I can see where peat could be beneficial to the human part of the partnership, because of how we think. Horses don't think like we think. I always tell my clients, you know, horses are very, very much in the moment, which makes them great teachers. They're not going to go off into the corner and talk about what somebody is wearing that day. You know,
they're worried about smelling rain in the air, or if there's a prey animal,
you know,
or a predator.
They're more worried about that somebody has, you know, that there is a trash can where there was not a trash can, and it might eat them. You know, so they like the same thing, the same way. Every day, and their goal is to first to be safe and not be eaten, and secondly to eat, and you know, and then they're very happy.
I can say the same for myself.
They're very uncomplicated on the Maslow hierarchy of needs.
Nice. Well, that might be why everybody loves horses. Well, I can't help but wonder, you know, how peat processing might could help me redefine my relationship to my animal, be it a horse or an unruly dog or something of that nature. I can't help but wonder, you know, for a lot of us, my pets are important to me and everything. And I'm always faced with the challenge of, man, how can I communicate with Max or Gizmo more effectively? Am I really on the same level as these guys? And I'm thinking, wow, peat processing, on the surface of things, certainly could help revolutionize my relationship with the animal. What if, and this is a speculation, what if, you know, the whispering phenomenon, it seems like every animal has a whisperer. There's a doggone cricket whisperer and a horse whisperer, a dog whisperer. You know, there's a whisperer for everything. What if animal whispering is really some form of peat processing that helps you to sort of get on the communication level or the wavelength, for lack of a better word, as the animal in question? A lot of people would like to be able to do that with their pets, I think.
Yeah, well, if we're going to be talking about everything as oneness, at some level, we are at one. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think there are different levels of interaction with our pets.
Sure. They teach us a lot about ourselves.
You know, and there's an archetypal level of communication with all species, just like happened with the plant species at Findhorn Garden. You know, so at the archetypal level, there's the vast ability to be able to communicate.
Well,
so we have
I mean,
to know what level we're communicating at. You know, is it the day by day? You know, is it the emotional? Is it the archetypal? What level are we communicating with our animals? Because silly me, I thought I was raising horses, and all the time the horses were teaching me about their language so that I could teach that to people and help them with their lives. I had no idea.
Well, one of the things I like about this this notion or this speculation is that it you know, the theory is that I would integrate myself with the animal. I mean, the basic polarity here is that of animal and human, or horse and human, you know. And so using or adhering to the theory of the peat processing, I would become sort of, it's sort of like a spiritual lycanthropy, where I become sort of a centaur.
Okay, so here's how that would happen. There's a process called circular processing, okay?
Right.
So say that you have an issue with your brother. Mm-hmm. So in the circular processing, you would take it from your brother's point of view, okay? Mm-hmm. And you would process whatever the issue was from the brother's point of view. Mm-hmm. And I did this in practice once, and took it from my husband's point of view, and it was hysterical what came out of my mouth. Everybody laughed, but it sounded just exactly like him and what he would say. I laughed. I thought it was funny, and I have no idea where that came from. It's just that we've lived together a long time, but, you know, taking it from his point of view was very interesting.
Sure.
And so let's say we're going to do that with a pet, then you'd take it from the horse's point of view, or the dog's point of view, or the cat's point of view. And then you would process that issue. I know somebody that did that with dogs barking. And it was a situation where, you know, ultimately from the dog's point of view, the person realized that the dog was, you know, lonely all day.
You're right. Right.
And barking. So taken from the dog's point of view, there was a realization in that circular processing.
I think one of the, and I'm speaking here as a layman, someone who's ignorant about peat processing, but it seems to me that there must be, for example, using your example of the barking dog, it seems to me like the benefit of peat processing is that it, you know, all of a sudden I'm not angry anymore. I mean, it's great, sure, the benefits to relationship of being able to mind meld or see the world through your partner's eyes, those benefits are obvious. But I think what's important here is that as soon as I begin the peat processing and start seeing things from the bark, seeing life from the barking dog's point of view, I would imagine that takes away a lot of the physical effects of anger. You know, that hot adrenaline rush, the palsy, the trembling from the, you know what I'm saying? I think it would take a, I think it would actually make a difference immediately.
Yeah. Sure it does. But by that same token, if you needed it, you could use that too.
I got to tell you,
Mrs.
Salem,
if the dog is coming over and pulling in your yard every day, then, you know, you have that adrenaline rush, you need to shoo it away. And right. Maybe you can speak to the owner about it. But you don't just go to La La Land. What you'd go to is the ability to dance between the opposites. Now, one thing I will say that Zivarad taught us in the training that I went to that I think is important is that there's a time not to use the peat, okay?
Right.
And it's important that you stay within your sphere of competence, okay? Mm-hmm. And that is where I say I am not a therapist. I don't deal with schizophrenics with this, and I would never assume to. And if someone came to a peat processor that was not a therapist and was depressed, or even to a therapist, Zivarad cautions against doing some of the peat processes because it will release the tension. Sometimes people are very deeply depressed, and they're stuck in that. If you release that, they have just enough energy to do away with themselves if you're not monitoring them.
Understood.
And so that's where a professional is needed. And that would be the only time, you know, you would want to have questions when the people come in. You know, and usually, you know, deeply depressive people go to therapists who are trained to handle this.
Sure.
I have never had anybody come in to me in a spiritual context, you know, that I had that problem. But I would be very cautious if I did.
Well,
I would refer. So that's just, you know, that is the only time that there would be a concern. For most of this, it's the releasing of problems in our lives and being able to move freely between anger and calm. Or whatever polarity it is. I'll tell you a good place to search for those polarities is in, if you're familiar with David Hawkins' work, and he has all those different polarities in his book, Power versus Force. Those are wonderful polarities to work with.
Well, you know, Pam, we're coming to the final portions of our interview tonight. Where would you direct people if they're curious about prime energy activation and transcendence? Where would you direct them on the web to find resources for information?
I would direct them to Zivarad's site, which is spiritual-technology.com.
Okay. That's a good place to start to find out more about this very...
And I would direct them, if they want to know more about it, to the link that I sent to you, if you... about the Return to Oneness book.
Very good. Well, everyone, Pam Salem, thank you so much, Mrs. Salem, for joining us tonight. It has been not only a pleasure, but also very enlightening. I've never heard of peat, and I'm very grateful that I have encountered it. I look forward to learning more about it over the years. And I just thank you very much for joining us here tonight, Pam.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Stephen. It's been a privilege. Thank you.
It has been an honor for me as well, Pam. You take good care, and we will talk to you some other day.
Great. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Stephen. You have a wonderful evening.
Oh, yes, ma'am. You as well. You as well. Well, that was absolutely stimulating and educational. I would like to take a moment just to make a few announcements, okay, because we're not done with the show. We've only concluded the interview. We still have an entire hour left where you can get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We're going to announce the call-in number later, so be sure to have your pen and paper handy. If you couldn't get to our last week's show, you can find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so share that link with others. Also, visit our PsychicBloggers.com site to learn the how-tos of paranormal development, reincarnation, soulmate seeking, any psychic or paranormal topic you can think of, it's there on psychicbloggers.com. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Every psychic on the site has a detailed profile for you to find out more about her or him. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of my co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. And if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. Incidentally, site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading on traffic referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, and we hope that you do, invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everyone, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Okay, so I'm going to be asking one of my illustrious co-hosts questions about the interview to get their take on the interview. Nona Marie, are you available? Why don't we start with you?
Well, it was fascinating material, and I'm so glad you had me as a guest, and I'm so anxious to look into it more. So it reminds me a little bit of Byron Katie has something called The Work, and right. Where you address an issue, and then you have to reframe it into its opposite. And I suspect, I could be totally wrong, but I suspect that's similar to the polarities that they're talking about in Pete. But I think the process is probably very different. But I think the underlying concept of being able to travel more freely between polarities instead of getting stuck in one or the other is the key to a lot of personal happiness and a lot of personal freedom. And I love that there's new things coming out that people can try and use to get themselves in a more balanced state. It would be amazing to me if, you know, there's so much of this technology out there now, and it's so accessible with the internet and even with YouTube. There's often videos you can do kind of work. It would just be amazing if more and more people did that to see how the quality of life changed. And I wonder if things like war would change and racism and rape, those kind of things would dissolve if people, there was more of this work being done. And what if we were doing this in schools with kids, for example?
Or how about the corrections system?
Oh, can you imagine like really having rehabilitation in prison? That would just be unbelievable. And it's not expensive to do this work. And she's talking about that you can work on something in 20 minutes. So it's not like people need 10 years or Freudian an analysis to get through something. I wonder if they are taking Pete into prison. That would just be phenomenal work.
I don't think it might be a little bit too effective. You know what I'm saying? God forbid that the correction system not have inmates to put in its prisons. Then
that might involve actually not having a million people in prison.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. This is terrible news, especially if you're Wackenhut or somebody who, you know, runs commercial prisons, which is a pretty grotty idea. But, you know, if you're that guy, certainly the last thing you'd want in your counseling rooms is probably Pete or anything
Fixed.
Like that.
Oh, my God. It would change the world economy, wouldn't it?
It would. It would. It might be the missing link to make everybody, a sort of, a wacky Superman. You know, Steve. Yeah. I wanted to ask you specifically because, as in astrology, we see the idea of the polarity all the time in terms of, you know, the polarity between the 10th and the 4th house and the 1st and the 7th house. You know, astrology, tarot, in fact, all of spiritualism is nothing but a study of polarity. So I'd like to sort of get your ideas about how important this concept of polarity is to all spiritual matters. Just to get your ideas on that.
I think it's critical, Stephen. As you said, you see it in astrology, you see it in tarot. And if you think of any characteristic or any feeling, it always lies on a continuum. So I often think to myself, well, happiness and sadness are levels of contentment. They're just different levels of contentment, different extremes or polarities upon that continuum of contentment. And I really find it fascinating when you look at the natal chart in astrology that you see those polarities. So if you look at the first house, which is one's relationship with oneself, it is opposite to the seventh house, which is relationships with others. So they're completely interconnected. So if we work on ourselves, if we work on our relationships with ourselves, then there's a very positive knock-on effect at the other end of the spectrum, which is relationships with other people. Because if you think about it, people have problems in relationships, and it always boils down to something within oneself. So whether that's self-esteem, or it is a feeling that we won't be with somebody else if we leave a bad relationship, etc. Right. That it's completely interconnected. What you experience in a relationship is absolutely wrapped up in where you stand with yourself. And so the more you work on relationships with others, the more that raises your awareness about how you need to work on yourself. So I find these things all completely interconnected, and I have actually experienced, Pete. I had a consultation with Pam quite some time ago, and I didn't really know what I was in for, to be honest with you. I knew that she was a really impressive and very spiritual, wonderful lady, so I was really excited to get an appointment with her. And I thought that it was something akin to EFT. And in the session, Pam was asking me questions, and I was answering these questions. And as we went through the process, I felt like I was going deeper and deeper within myself to answer questions that I hadn't really thought about previously.
Right.
And I'd gone there with an expectation that there was something in particular I wanted to address within myself. There was a shift I wanted to experience. And later in the session, Pam sort of stopped and went a little quiet. And then she asked me a question. And the response just came straight out of me from nowhere. And I felt just blown away by the experience, because my response basically confirmed that there was a blockage or issue within me, a very long-standing blockage or issue within me that preceded this lifetime for sure. And regardless of all the inner work, all of the self-development work I've done, I had no clue about that issue. I, if you'd said to me, Steve, make a list of your issues, the things that you're working on, the things you need to deal with in your journey of growth, I would not have put that on the list. I didn't realize it was an issue within me at all. It was as though the process plucked something out of me that was completely beyond my conscious awareness. And so many lights went on. So many things about myself and my life to date made sense all of a sudden. because of this realization. But the other thing is, I felt like I'd, in that moment, somehow the process caused me to just let go of that issue. So it was just, it was mind-blowing, and I definitely want to do it again. I found it extremely powerful. I wasn't expecting that, in all honesty.
Well, you definitely put Pete deep processing on my radar. As one thing, good thing about our friendship is that you're always putting interesting ideas and concepts onto my radar. And Nona Marie, I'm gonna have this same question or similar question for you in a bit. But Steve, I wanted to ask you about this because, you know, in modern astrology, especially, they look at the 180 degree aspect, which is sort of a quintessential polarity, and they liken that to the psychological process of projection. And I wanted to ask you, because the idea is that, you know, we're aware of one end of the opposition. We're aware of one part of our pole, but then the other end, in theory, we project that. Did you find, and I'm not necessarily saying or implying that you did, but did you find that this trait or characteristic that you were not aware of, what do you think about the idea that you may have been projecting that onto other people and encountering it that way? And Nona Marie, I'd like to get your take on the concept of projection as it relates to the polarity too in a bit, but I want to hear what Steve has to say about this.
Well, I believe absolutely that we create, largely we create unconsciously. And I believe absolutely that we create all of our experiences. We create our entire existence. And so if I find myself in a situation that's challenging, on some level, I've drawn myself into that situation, and the way to evolve beyond that kind of experience is to stop and observe why it's occurring. Why did I need to create this experience? What am I trying to teach myself? So I believe absolutely that we create everything. And so, yes, we're constantly projecting, and we're constantly interacting with the world around us. But it's largely happening unconsciously. And that's where I think processes like Pete and metaphysical insight are incredibly useful, because they enable us to access what's actually occurring within the unconscious self. It's like delving into the great depth of the iceberg, the majority of it sits beneath the surface of the water.
Right. Now, thank you very much for that, Steve. That's a very interesting observation. As always, you're full of them, full of wonderful observations. And I wanted to get your insight into this as well, Nona Marie. You know, one of the central processes of Pete is this notion of confronting the polarity in your life. Too much of this, not enough of that, and then, you know, unifying those polarities. So what do you think, because a lot of times I think, let's hypothesize this person beginning the Pete process, encountering these polarities perhaps for the first time. My idea is that, you know what, the unhealthy end of that pole or the problematic end of that pole, it might be projected or cast from the person and sort of draped onto other people. And I wanted to ask, you know, how much of that you see, for example, in your own practice or with, you know, your own friends and family, or maybe even of yourself. I mean, I think we're all guilty of it. So what's your idea about the concept of polarity, resolving polarities, and psychological projection of a matter?
Well, this is a really great discussion because, and I love what Steve Frampton had to say about all of this as well, that we can very often observe what we do to others and then look at it as a reflection on where we need to work on ourselves. But what I loved what he said about Pete that has me even more interested is when he heard something come out of his mouth that he didn't even know was an issue. And to me, that's phenomenal work. And that is really where spiritual technology goes deeper than mainstream psychology, which is why I like a mix of both things. Mainstream psychology to me is very good at working on things that we can usually touch or identify through some kind of consciousness, whereas spiritual technology very often opens up another door that reveals to us something we didn't even know we needed to work on, or we didn't even need it to be revealed. And it's phenomenal when that happens. And as practitioners, I think it's much easier to help others see their projections than it is to see our own projections. So another thing that I really appreciate about Psychic Access and this show is that everybody who does readings also talks about that they work on themselves. And that is so important for practitioners to keep themselves clean and to keep their energies flowing and to understand that they have their own evolutionary process. And it's also such a great model for people who call in for readings to understand that readings show us a trail map. Readings can set us on the path of a journey and help us. But we also do have to do the work, like having a personal trainer can really set us on the right path. But then we actually have to go to the gym and do it. For a period of time. So I love that all of that is being brought up and discussed and reinforced. And projection, I think, is one of the hardest things to catch at times, especially in the heat of a moment when you're so sure that you're right. Mm-hmm. It's very good to then go say, well, I was actually projecting my own polarity on someone else. So something like heat would just be absolutely invaluable tool for anybody to start unraveling some of the areas that are blind spots for us. And we always do have blind spots.
I tell you, I'm so watchful for the possibility that I might be projecting onto other people, that anytime I have a negative reaction to someone, one of my first questions is it possible that I'm projecting something of myself that I just totally reject and dislike onto this other? How much of this other person's behavior and reaction to me is authentic? And how much of it is just some, you know, matrix sort of illusion that I'm fostering and creating all on my own? And I got to tell you, it's not like that all the time, Nona Marie, but it is like that it's like that more often than I would like. Let me say it. Let me put it. I'm shocked to discover the amount of times where I am possibly projecting my own dislike of some aspect of myself onto someone else. It's really kind of sneaky, isn't it?
Yeah. And another issue with all of that is that sometimes I'm not very good at setting boundaries. So I will go overboard saying, oh, this is me projecting and me putting this on the other person, when really the other person is doing something that's not good for me and I should be throwing them out of my house or not talking to them. You know, it's kind of like there's nothing wrong with a rattlesnake, but I don't want to kiss it on the nose either.
So you can go too far with it.
I can do that. I have to be really careful and say, well, yeah, I am projecting, and this person also is not a good thing for me right now. And that doesn't mean they're bad and wrong, but also doesn't mean that I just let them, you know, the rattlesnake come into my house and rattle his tail at me. So it is a little, there's a polarity, I guess, right there, too, between looking at when you're projecting and when you're overcompensating for projecting. And then you allow people to do, you know, really crappy things to you. And, right. You know, a lot of people call in for readings. That's very often a problem. I hear people talk about so-and-so is doing something to me and I want to be a good person. And you're thinking, well, you are being a good person and they're not.
Right.
Get rid of them. Get rid of them now.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and pass out the call-in number. And then when I get back here, I'd like to get Steve's opinion about if perhaps maybe astrology can help, or his spirit guides can sometimes help clearing the confusion and telling when someone is projecting something versus when maybe they actually do need to be concerned about the other person. And it's not a projection. It's a literal, sincere and troublesome thing. But before we get to that question for Steve, I'd like to pass out the call-in number. We've come to that part of the show where we will be taking your calls and questions, and the number for the call-in is 724-444-4851. I'll now repeat that number for you. It is 724-444-4851. Now, we ask that you please be aware every call that we get is automatically placed on hold, okay? So don't worry if you get automatically sort of shunted into a holding area. It's not going to be permanent. We're going to get to you, okay? While you're waiting to get on the air, you'll be able to hear the show while you wait. Now, once you get on the air, we ask that you be as clear and as direct with your question as possible. We know that sometimes you don't even know what's happening to you, but still, nevertheless, try to define your problem as crisply and as clearly as you possibly can. The extent to which you can be very clear and direct with your question is the extent that we can answer it. Let me just put it that way. Now, we can only take one question per person. So while you're waiting, we strongly advise you to really think hard about what that one question can be. Make it the right one. Okay, because we got to get to everybody waiting in the queue who wants a reading as well. So again, that number is 724-444-4851. Mr. Frampton, Steve Frampton, I did want to ask you whether or not astrology could be useful, or perhaps your spirit guides, whether they could be useful in clarifying polarities, and, you know, should I worry about this guy, or am I just projecting my, you know, something onto him that doesn't belong to him?
You mean in terms of looking at one's relationship with another person? Stephen, is that what you mean?
Right, that's exactly what I mean.
So looking at the dynamics between two people and considering whether the extent to which one person is more of the problem.
Right, or for example, not just any specific person. Let's say you get a client who comes to you and says, I just can't get along with everybody. You know, everybody I come across hates my guts and everything like that. My question is, you know, can you look at this person's chart, you know, examine some of the opposite polar type of qualities in their chart and maybe produce some, you know, the reason you're having this effect on everybody isn't so much because everybody hates you, but it's because you hate everybody else. Or the reverse. In other words, can astrology clear that sort of thing up? Am I right to be paranoid about this, or am I mistaken? Can astrology answer that question?
Well, yes. My view, Stephen, is that astrology can answer pretty much everything, pretty much every question.
Right.
I mean, my guides are pretty blunt about things, to be honest with you. But you know this. A client will only hear what they're ready to hear. And you can actually be really blunt with somebody about certain issues that they need to be aware of and need to address. But if they're not ready to hear them, it'll just go in one ear and out the other. It doesn't even register. And I think a great example is when you speak to somebody that's talking about problems in their relationship, and you can tell that it's a dreadful relationship. And you then, when you look at the astrology of it, you can see that there's just very poor compatibility and that these two people are never going to be happy together. And you start to address this with the client, but the client doesn't want to hear it. And sometimes the client will even twist everything that you say back round to the fact that they can make it work with this person. So I think you have to respect where a person is. And these are quite complex processes. There are not many people, for example, that have a crystal clear picture of the dynamic with another person. And there are not many people that have a crystal clear picture about their relationships and whether they should be in them or out of them. And these are complex psychological processes.
Right.
But yeah, my guides can be pretty blunt about things to wake people up, but you still meet people that don't want to be woken up.
Excellent. I'm glad you have the floor now, Steve, because you actually have a caller from Oregon.
Oh, great. Okay. Who's calling from Oregon?
Yes, hello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. What's your name?
My name's Dana.
Your name is Dana?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Dana, it's good to talk with you. What's your question for us, Dana?
Well, my question is, I am having the hardest time seeing what my block is from keeping myself from seeing my ultimate potential and talents and gifts and how to go about using them to help heal myself and the world.
Okay. So there's a lot in there. So just let me be clear. Are you asking me what your path is in the world, what you should be doing?
Well, more like that, and what is the block that's keeping me from doing that? Like, I have this hard time, it seems, when looking at myself, and like I can listen to other people and give them what seems to be great advice, and they're like, oh my gosh, perfect.
Yes.
And then when I turn and look at myself and go, okay, well, how can I be more unconditionally loving with myself? How can I, you know, see myself in, you know, a more compassionate light or something like that? I kind of come up a little short, it seems. Like, it seems like it's easier for me to see and help other people than myself.
Well, Dana, let me say, first of all, you don't have to be perfect in order to help other people. So don't ever say to yourself, oh, you know, until I've become an archangel, I shouldn't be feeding this demand from – your cat's agreeing with me – that I shouldn't be feeding this demand from other people to actually provide them with insight, to provide them with support, guidance, ideas, feedback, coaching, etc. You do not have to be perfect. And, if, you know, you go and see a psychiatrist, you'll see that they're generally quite messed up people. I work with quite a lot of psychiatrists, and they're very smart people, but they're not necessarily the most functional people. So we've all got our work to do. We that's why we're here. So you can't set this expectation that you should be perfect and all of your inner work, your personal work, should be done. That's not the case. You will always be doing that work. And the more you're aware of the work that you need to do for yourself, and the more you engage in it, the better you will serve other people. So you've got to remember this. You are a very, very insightful person. That one of your challenges, Dana, is you feel things very, very intensely. And this is a great skill because it enables you to observe a situation or tune into a person or tune into a meeting. You might walk into a room and just sit down in the middle of a meeting and you sense so much. You sense what's going on beneath the surface. And this is a very intense process for you. That enables you to get a good handle on what's going on. It enables you to give great input to help other people, to help people achieve their objectives. But at the same time, you have to let go of it. You can't carry it around with you, and you can't manage yourself in such an intensive manner because you're very hard on yourself. You know, you didn't need a parent, really, because you were your own parent. And so You're too hard on yourself. You're too rigid with yourself. You don't allow yourself to just open up and play and be silly and have fun. And in actual fact, a big part of your opportunity is to just say, do you know what? Life is great. And yes, there are ups and downs, and we need to manage those ups and downs well. And we need to view everything that's occurring with a healthy perspective. And not everything is within our control. But life is good. And life should be fun. Every day should be fun. And the greatest thing you can do for yourself is stop reflecting so much. Stop doing it constantly. Stop being so hard on yourself. Stop being so self-critical. Stop limiting yourself. Stop doing these things and replace them with all the things you really love. All the things that are just fun for you. You're going to fill your life with those things. The more you do that, the more your energy shifts, and the more you're able to just joyfully help other people. You really haven't got much of a problem, to be honest, Dana. The thing with you is you just got to lighten up, in my opinion. You just got to lighten up. And don't doubt your ability to tune into people, to give insight, to guide. The other thing with you is you're an amazing researcher. Do you realize that?
Yeah, I kind of am an information junkie.
yeah. Put it to work. Mm-hmm. You haven't found yet all of the outlets or channels of distribution for your abilities. So you've got to start thinking outside the box about how you can reach your audience, your client base, and think about that. You're being a little bit too conventional, a little bit too rigid in your mind about how you should do this work and how you can shift to completely doing that work. So you're looking at It's a little bit like you imagine you've got the greatest, you created the greatest new yogurt and you only talk to one supermarket about it. You got to look at them all.
Right.
All options.
Right.
Because there are people all over the place that want that yogurt if only they knew about it. So that's how you need to approach this. You're also a great writer. And you're not the kind of person that's going to do one thing anyway. You'll have three strings to your bow, ultimately. You'll work for yourself if you're not already. And I feel that you combine your research... Sorry?
I said that is the goal.
Yeah, you'll combine your research and writing with your ability to tune into people and provide guidance, counsel, etc., read for them, with also your interest in psychology, human nature, and even medicine to a degree. The impact that all of these things have upon the human body. So there's quite a medical twang to your work. You'd be a good medical astrologer. So you've got nothing to worry about, and by August of next year, by around the 8th of August next year, you'll be well on your path. I'll say very quickly to you something that I say to a lot of people. We're always creating bridges from where we are now to where we choose to be next. Mm-hmm. You're always building a bridge. So enjoy being on the bridge. Always enjoy being on the bridge. Always. And enjoy the process of creating that bridge. You know, I remember saying to my cousin, who's a very successful comedian, enjoy the times when you don't have a lot of work. Don't be upset about it, because when you're really successful, you'll look back at those times and crave them. Always enjoy the bridge, okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
And
you're very insightful yourself. Thank you.
There is a wonderful relationship coming for you as well. And you've got a lot to look forward to, so just go for it. Just lighten up, have fun, enjoy life.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Good luck, Dana.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling, Dana, and thank you, Steve, for that reading. That was rather breathtaking. If you would like a reading from Steve, then you can find him at psychicaccess.com. Now, we have a caller from Florida for Nona.
Hello, Florida. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, what's your name?
Lisa.
Say again.
Hi, this is Lisa.
Lisa?
Yes, hi.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Lisa? Can I help you?
What's your question? Yeah, my question is, what do you see coming up for my finances?
Your finances feels like not until February or March will they start to, I think they'll level out at that point. But it will be a very slow climb. So it won't be, there's no miraculous way out of your finances right now, but it'll be a slow and steady climb. And it feels like, not so much that this is coming from a job situation that things will change, but it feels like this will be coming more from a relationship situation. So I would say don't count on it. In other words, don't just put your eggs all in that basket. So it feels like there'll be someone in your life who will be helping you out financially, but that is not going to be a long-term solution for you, but it will get you through the year. And from there, though, while you're leveled out, you really need to start making some plans to get yourself in a better situation financially. And that will mean looking for some different kinds of work than what you've been doing. Feels like there are some opportunities in different fields than what you have currently been aiming your arrows at. So once you do get stabilized around February, I think until then it's going to be a little, you might be white knuckling it a little bit. You'll be okay, but it's going to be a little bit scary. And you'll have to be very, very cautious and very careful with finances. After that, though, once you get stabilized, you seriously need to look into some kind of, I would say, certification, not necessarily school or degree, but certification and a training in some field that you are more interested in working in. And that would that would be something that would take you like 8 months, 9 months to a year to do, to get the certification in. And it could be something even like medical billing or dental billing, something like that, where it would allow you the flexibility of possibly working from home. And it does feel to me like you have a little bit of terror of computers, but that you could get over that quite easily and you would be quite okay with doing that kind of work. And it does feel to me like you're not really ready for a big career, more that you need a job to pay for your life, if that makes sense. Some people are career driven. You feel to me more like a family person, and you need an income in order to keep the family situation working out for yourself. And because of that, I would start looking for certification in the fields that I mentioned, but in some areas also that have a promising future. And I would also say to you that if you go to any local college, community, state, or city college, they typically have a career center that is free for the community to use that can give you data and the newest research on what jobs are booming, what are the ones that look the most promising. And that would give you some guidance also on where to go and where to put your energy.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome, sweetie. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for calling, and thank you, Nona Marie. If you would like a reading from Nona Marie, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from beautiful Ontario. Hello, Ontario. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm glad to hear that. Glad to hear that. You guys are obviously getting a lot of snow. I'm glad that you could call us on such a cold night in Ontario. But how may I help you this evening, sir?
I'm just wondering about a recent breakup. Mm-hmm. If we're going to reunite, I mean, I feel like in my bones, it's not just wishful thinking. I think it's meant to be. It's just bad timing or whatever.
Okay.
So I guess, love horoscope or whatever, reading.
You want to know where your relationship's going. Okay. One second, okay? While I pick up on that.
Sure.
All right, well, your instincts are pretty good. I'm getting the impression that this isn't the end of things totally or anything like that. I'm thinking that the breakup is more of an attention-getting sort of a tactic, a way of saying, hey, you know, there's something wrong here. And you're going to have a chance to clear up the air, okay? You're going to have an opportunity to be able to talk again with your ex-partner and to pick things up and continue forward. So I would say that your instincts are pretty accurate about that. However, the ex-partner right now is temporarily just sort of in a terrible, I mean, there's something emotionally wrong with the person. Not clinically wrong, don't get me wrong, but the person, the attitude is going to probably remain kind of troubling for possibly another good 4 months or so. You see, so it might not necessarily have much to do with you, or if anything to do with you so much. So I just wanted to alert you that there might be some other factors, just general stress of life, and that your ex-partner's outlook and attitude on things is going to improve. And so that is also going to help things get back on track, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. So
that's actually really accurate, because she is kind of an emotional wreck.
Well, you know, to be fair, it doesn't really take Nostradamus to say that, you know, in a breakup situation, somebody's going to be an emotional wreck here. I think what's most important is that it'll probably take a few months before she gets back on her, you know, before she gets back to some sort of emotional stability. Do you see what I mean? So this is a warning for you to sort of batten down the hatches and to be prepared for that. But, you know, you're definitely going to get a chance to get back with her, and it'll be good. And that particular opportunity will probably happen within a matter of, and it could take a while, okay? I'm thinking this is going to take a while, because in addition to the emotional challenges revolving around her, there's also some, and I hate, please forgive me for saying this, some stubbornness, you know, a little tenacity that you might have to overcome here. You know what I mean? So we're also talking about a matter of weeks, sir.
We're not speaking now, but
yeah, it'll be a few weeks before things start going in the right direction for you, but they'll turn for you, okay?
That's great. That's what I felt. But it's good to hear.
I wish you lots of good fortune on that one, okay? And just be patient, because it's gonna take a couple months before things get where you want them to be, okay?
All right, that's great.
Very good. Well, best of luck to you, sir. Thank you very much for calling, and have a nice holiday season if I don't get a chance to talk to you again. You can always find any of us at psychicaccess.com, okay?
Great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye. Okay. We have a caller now from Ohio for Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Ohio?
Hello?
Hi there. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I have a question. Do you see me going to start reading astrology or tarot cards again?
I feel more drawn to tarot in the first instance. I feel you're a pretty intuitive person, and I feel that you would do better with tarot to begin with. But I also feel that you've got a very consistent commitment to an interest in metaphysical tools, and I feel that with the right studies, you could certainly pick up astrology. But I feel that your primary tool for the next year or two would be tarot. You know that they're both correlated. So a planet or a sign of the zodiac maps to a tarot card, and vice versa. In fact, all of the tarot cards map to astrology somehow. And so having an understanding of both systems enables you to work better with them. And particularly, I think, with tarot, an astrologer that understands how they map to each other is able to work with the tarot deck at a great level of depth. So I feel really, no matter what you do, astrology is going to be important. You're a very loving, very accepting, very caring person. You're the least judgmental person there is. I mean, you don't... What part of your challenge really is you don't turn anyone away. And I don't just mean with regard to insight. I mean, just generally, you don't give up on people. And sometimes you tend to, you know, get drawn down the death spiral or the rabbit hole with them, because you don't like to let go and give up on a person. But sometimes you do have to allow a person to go their own way and make their mistakes and not drag you with them. So I feel like you need some stronger boundaries. I feel that there are two younger males, actually, that demand a lot of your time and energy. And so I feel that one of the things you need to do is actually draw clearer boundaries with people that are in your life, so that you actually have more time to yourself, more space, really, so that you can pursue the things that are important to you, because you tend to be consumed by everybody else's stuff, and creating space will be really beneficial for you, you know. But I certainly feel that you can do this, and I certainly feel that you can really study astrology in depth. It's absolutely wonderful that. Just brace yourself for the fact that you end up not wanting to do anything else. You go on vacation, and all you want to do is study astrology, you know.
Yeah.
But it's incredibly fascinating. And yes, I do feel that you can do it, for sure. You really care about people.
Yeah.
You really care about people, and that's wonderful. But you've got to manage boundaries, because people can, you know, hook you. Yeah, cling on. So you've got to make sure that you do the work that needs to be done, and that's it, you move on. You know, you're not on call. So
yeah.
I feel you can go for it. And I feel there's good news for you in February, actually. I feel like things really pick up for you in February. And there's a lady in spirit with a little dog, actually. It's just lady that had some problems with her legs. Her legs were very, what's the word? Swollen. And she had a lot of circulatory problems. She was born or passed in the month of May. Not necessarily May just gone. I think that she passed several years ago. But she's certainly on the horizon, and spirit are rooting for you and wanting you to do this, partly because this is what you really want to do rather than just running around after everybody else.
Yeah, when a lady that was teaching me how to use my ability, she passed away at Cleveland Clinic back in 99. And she kept saying, you need to do this because, you know, she would, I mean, just tell her things and other people, and I was like 80% accurate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're never 100%. We're never 100%, but you should go for it. One other quick thing for you before you go. You've overpaid one of your utility accounts.
Do what now?
You've overpaid one of your utility accounts. And I can't tell whether it's water, electricity, or gas, which one it is, but you've overpaid a utility account. Your billing hasn't been correct. And you'll find that there's some money. It's not a lot of money, but it'll help. That you've been overpaying one of your utility bills. That's what one of my guides says to me. You'll see.
So they'll send me something back then, huh?
Ask for it. You don't ask for what you want or need. You generally
gotta
hope
go for
that
it.
It will come to you. Go and claim it. And my guides say you claim what you're entitled to, and they'll bring you that your guide spirit will bring you much more. Claim what you want.
Okay.
All right?
Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Have a good Thanksgiving.
You too. God bless and good luck. Go for it.
Good luck. I will. Bye.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you very much for calling. And thank you, Steve, for that outstanding reading. You can find Steve at psychicaccess.com when you call us. We can definitely clue you in to helpful things that you might not know about, just like Steve did here with this lady's utilities bill. Definitely want to check that out, madam. Okay, we have a caller here from New Jersey for Nona.
Hello, New Jersey.
Hi.
What's your name?
Carol.
Hi, Carol. What can I do for you? What's your question?
Hi. I was dating a guy. We broke up, so he reached out to me the other day, and we, like, exchange naughty pictures and stuff. Do you see us, reconciling, getting back together, or something going on between us?
And what is his first name?
His first name is Sean.
Sean?
Yes.
He has an enormous amount of love for you, this man. I think that things actually feel very positive for you getting back together again. It feels to me like he kind of went off the deep end at one point and did some actions that he regrets, which is actually really nice that he feels that way, because a lot of times people will do things and they have no regrets whatsoever. But he's actually a very thoughtful person, and I do believe that you will find him back on track and being the man that you fell in love with or you had strong feelings for in the first place. So this feels very, very optimistic and very good. I would take it slow, just because he needs a chance to kind of explain himself. He needs a chance to, come forward and reveal to you some of his thoughts. And while they're in his head, he sometimes has a hard time getting them out of his head and into words. And the more room you could give him to do that, I think the more trust you will have in him based on what he says. And he won't talk about everything all at once. It will come out over a series of times that you spend together. There will be little bits and pieces and little observations that he makes. I think you'll actually be spending time with him over the holidays. And I do think that really from January on that you'll be on very solid footing with him. He's a really nice person, and he's not, he really, you know, sometimes people are not nice and sometimes people just get off track, and it feels to me like he just really got off track. He honestly really did get off track. And what he did is not his normal way of being. But I think you're going to be in great shape with him. I think you'll have some moments of deep mistrust. But I would say when you have those feelings, just hang on to them and wait. Wait and see. And I think you'll see you will not trust what he tells you. So there's really no point in asking him. Wait and see what his actions are. And I think you will find yourself getting very comforted by the way that he responds. He is actually quite a sensitive man. He picks up on your feelings quite intensely. And he reads them very well, which is just a lovely gift. So if you have strong feelings and you have doubts and give him the room to feel that, he will say something. He will react in a way that will comfort you more than if you were to ask him a direct question, because you have some trust issues right now. And that's okay to have. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's there. So you might as well let them be there and let his actions speak for themselves.
Okay. Does
that make
sense? He said something about he's going to send me a plane ticket to come out and see him.
Yes.
I don't know
He is going to do that. Yep. He means it. He's going to do it. And he'll be pretty heavy on the courtship end, so which will be a lot of fun for you. So don't just, you know, like I said, with the trust issues that you have, they're okay. You don't have to force yourself to get over them. You don't have to force yourself through them. But do be patient, and you will see the results with him, I think, will make you feel quite comforted.
Okay.
Yeah, you're in good shape with him. You're going to have a lovely time with him.
Oh, okay. All right, that's good to know.
All right, that should make your holiday season quite a happy one.
Yes, it should. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Good. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much, Nona Marie, for that reading. You can find Nona Marie at psychicaccess.com. Before we move on to the next caller, I actually do have an announcement to make. I meant to make this announcement earlier, but we actually are not going to be here for Thanksgiving next week. We're going to take off for the holiday, and we will return on the 4th of December, and I'll make that announcement again towards the end of the show. But right now, I actually have a caller from Florida. Hello, Florida. How are you doing this evening?
Hello?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How may I help you this evening?
Yeah, I wanted to know what you see coming up for my finances.
Okay, one second here while I pick up on your finances, okay?
Okay.
One second. Well, it seems to me as if money is going to be coming to you, and we'll talk about the timing of that in a little bit. The finances right now seem to be, like the general state of them, seem to be typically clenching and relaxing, in the sense of sometimes there's money coming in, and then sometimes there's not. For example, you know, there's a sort of a mutability or changeability somehow in the finances. However, I would expect that pretty soon, and I'll get to the timing in a bit, that we're going to enter into a phase of the finances where it's going to be one of those, it's going to be a lucrative phase where I would, again, expect there to be more income than expenses. You'll probably be able to get a chance to put some money away. It'll be a good thing. Now, as for the timing, and again, I actually see here two scenarios where it seems as if money will come to you and you will go to money. So let's first talk about the money that's going to come to you. I expect that that it's not going to be a huge amount. There's going to be something impacting that money that subtracts something from it. Perhaps a tax, perhaps you got to pay something that you owe to somebody else. I don't know what it is, but it's going to be something that subtracts from the quantity of that money. Now, the money that you actively pursue, and again, I see this happening probably in about a week's time. This will not have that same impediment, the money that you go out to earn in this week's time. And this could represent, I don't know what sort of business you're in, but this could represent some extra form of income, and a client or an account coming to you or something. You'll have an ability to make extra money in about a week. And then there's the second financial scenario where money is going to be coming into you probably in about 10 days. About 10 days time. And again, that'll be the one where I think it'll be diminished a little bit by some sort of a tax or something that has to be taken away from it. You see? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much for calling, and we wish you all the best, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
Yes, ma'am. Now, let me check the transom here. I think we're pretty light on callers right now. What do you think, guys? Next week, as I mentioned, we are not going to be having a show. We're going to be putting an end to a whole bunch of turkeys, just like the rest of America. But we will be back on the 4th of December. Refresh my memory, guys. What do we have planned for the 4th? Is that when we're doing the forecast for 2015, Steve? I got to get Steve to help me here with this. I want to say
I can't remember what we're doing on the 4th, Steve. it's not my show. I don't. Oh, perhaps it is.
Oh, it's Nona's show. Oh. Nona, it's your show.
I have a fabulous shamanic healer who I had a session with, and who was absolutely outrageously wonderful, and has been a shaman since he was about 4 years old. And I can't wait to interview him. It's going to be really terrific.
That is going to be awesome. I can't wait for that. That's going to be on the... Oh, well, you know what? We had one more caller to come in here through the line, and we got plenty of time here. Steve, would you like to take a call from Virginia?
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Sure. Who's calling from Virginia?
Hi.
Hi there. What's your name?
Jody.
How can we help
Hello?
You?
I was just curious about situation with finances. Could you give some insight to that, maybe?
Your finances. Let me see. Well, the first thing is, at the moment, any financial benefit that comes to you, you're really having to work hard for. So it's one of, you know, life is cyclical, and the energies cycle. So if you think of the seasons of the year, you know, we progress from one season to the next, and the winter time is when, you know, we're indoors more, nature is retreating, recuperating, ready for growth or regrowth next year, and all things in life are cyclical this way. So your finances have dried up on you, and I feel as though really most of this year has been that way. I'm drawn to particularly February time of 2014. It seems that things seem to really shift for you then. I want to say to you, you'll be okay financially. In fact, I feel that you're somebody that will do very well financially in the long term, because you're somebody that never gives up. It doesn't matter what's going on. You don't cave. You always work with situations and just strive to get where you want to be. And so that's going to take you a long way. And I honestly feel that you do need to economize. I don't feel that the situation is just going to sort itself out quickly. I feel that you're looking about 12 months, a little more, maybe a little more. But you'll find that beyond that time, you have opportunities that are bigger than any opportunities you've had before. One thing I'd say to you is the way for you to improve your finances, make your money, is really to make the most of yourself. And I know that sounds strange, but people pay to be around you and to have you around. You're not somebody necessarily that should be behind the scenes. People want to be involved with you. They want to work with you. They want you to work with other people. You've got great communication skills, great listening skills. You've got a sharp mind. You're brilliant at gathering information and drawing conclusions, etc. And you're also a very loving, very sincere person. So you're going to be fine. But the answer is, you're looking at about 12 months, maybe 14, of your finances being tight. But I know that it can be a challenge.
Right.
But, you know, really, I can remember there were times when my finances were really dreadful. And actually, they were some of the best times of my life.
Yes.
So, really, they were. And I tell you, from working with people, working with clients, a lot of people out there that have got a lot of money that are miserable. So we're aiming to be, you know, in great shape, really enjoying life, and to have financial abundance to do the things that we want to do. We're not driven by it, but it's a byproduct of us really just engaging in life energetically, optimistically, and doing what we love. So I feel you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Some money will come to you in March that will help. So it's not going to be as challenging as it is right now. But yeah, 12 months, maybe 14, and then you'll really see an upswing. Okay?
Okay, thank you. And you have a very good night.
Oh, you too. Lovely to talk to you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for calling in tonight, Dodie. And thank you, Steve, for that outstanding reading. Your spirit guides have really been on the ball tonight. And if you would like to book a reading with Stephen Frampton, you can find him at psychicaccess.com. And that brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. Big thanks to Doug C., who toils behind the scenes to keep everything on track as our executive producer. Thank you kindly, Doug. Big thanks to my co-hosts for joining me tonight. Also, extra special thanks to Steve Frampton, who dropped peat processing onto my radar and helped me to get in contact with Pam Salem. Big thanks to Pam Salem for joining us tonight. And again, as a reminder, we will not be here on Thanksgiving night. We will return on December the 4th, ready to explore the wonderful world of the paranormal. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and we will see you on the 4th.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.